3 about the light of the body being the eye, and if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And what we're focused on tends to fill our whole vision. And there's that about riches, there's that about seeking riches, should I say, which can cloud the vision. You think of Judas Iscariot, who, even though Christ was his master, and yet once he became a lover of money, he even betrayed the Messiah. So it can have a devastating effect on our vision. So that's another reason why it's wrong. And then the fourth reason is that it fails to take account of the reality, which is that these things are impermanent. Treasures on earth, they don't last. Now, in the ancient world, moth and rust seem to have been the chief things for attacking riches and possessions. And I suppose even today, that's true to some extent. Animals, bugs, rats, mice, insects of various kinds, and then rust, that stands for things that corrode material things, sort of kinds of chemical processes that downgrade things. Things always downgrade, don't they? They never upgrade because of the second law of thermodynamics. So there are all kinds of things that can wipe out what we've got, whether it's a bank failure or whether it's the share prices going rock bottom or whether it's something in the wider economy. Something can just wipe out what we've got. It has wings. So that's another thing, another reason why we should not have this kind of worldview. So the Kingdom of Heaven's worldview is completely countercultural to the Jewish worldview, and it's completely countercultural to the Gentile worldview. So if we're going to embrace this thinking of Christ, we're going to be countercultural. We're not going to be thinking like everyone else is. Now that has its challenges, but it's also a tremendous witness when people notice that and see that. And yet see, as the hymn we sang told us, that there is that peace of God about us. So here are three questions, very briefly. What are you and I investing in? Because he's talking about having treasures. He's talking about laying up treasures. What are we investing in? Are we investing just in this life, whether it's career or material things, or even family? That's still this life. Are we investing in heaven, in seeking first the kingdom of God? Second question, have you had an eye operation? If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It's talking about the spiritual person. We all of us need to have an eye operation. It's called being born again, or regeneration. It's that which leads us to a new world view. And then third question, who is actually your master? And sometimes we don't really find that out until something really bad happens to us. And then, of course, we are thrown out where we really are. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me tell you something about Matthew Henry, who lived in the early 18th century, and one day he was robbed, and he wrote this prayer after he was robbed of his possessions. Lord, I thank you that I have never been robbed before, that although they took my money, they spared my life, that although they took everything, it wasn't very much, that it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. There's a lot of wisdom in that, and it shows us where his heart was. And then finally, the full implications. Have we seen the full implications of the very positive note here that's coming through? Your Heavenly Father knows. Your Heavenly Father cares. He cares, remember, for the birds, he cares for the plants. How much more does he care for you? Have we really faced up to that? That's the positive side. to what is really a warning passage. It's Christ disconnecting from the Gentile worldview in order to bring us into the kingdom worldview. And the kingdom worldview is just filled with that thought, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Therefore, take no anxious thought for tomorrow shall look after itself. All these things shall be added unto you when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So we thank God for his precious word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that though so many have become trapped in a web of covetousness, perhaps scarcely recognized, but it's there, in a world-centered, mammon-centered worldview, we thank you that through your grace we can be delivered from that, and we can seek to know and to love and to serve our Father in heaven. And we pray that we may have the kind of heart and attitude that Matthew Henry had. It's easy when it's someone else, Lord, but when it's us, help us to react as he reacted. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God. And thank you that you are a loving heavenly Father. Thank you that you will provide for us. You have got the hairs on our head numbered. You do measure out the span of our days. And thank you that you do clothe the grass of the field so beautifully. And you do care for the living things. And how much more will you care for us? So help us to trust you and to have our treasure in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Grant us now, Lord, your blessing as we go to our homes. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for your help as we go into this working week. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.